The key to the evolution of the human species discovered. I started to write this article yesterday, before a class. I wanted to use the class to get some more meat into the issue. The class went differently. It, instead, magically took me to the root of all misery, and to the evolutionary issues of humanity, and to the question. Can evolution be caused? Triggered? I have been talking a lot about growing. But evolution isn't growing. Evolution is something else. Something new. Growing beyond? Evolution is not doing something better. Not even excellence. Evolution is something so new, that it is unrecognizable to relate to. You don't know what it is. When my mother came to visit me in 1992, it was 10 years after she last saw me. She didn't know how to relate to me. We didn't connect at all. I was no longer her punching bag. I was something she could not relate to. So I have been asking, can evolution be triggered? Caused? Midwifed? In a lot of ways this has been a question, I think, for a long time. People who are ahead of their time ask this question, in one way or another. So far there haven't been any successful attempts at causing mass evolution. Maybe an individual, but not a group, or a species. There are fairy tales of some incidents, but Musiltist shows that they are just that, fairy tales. One of them is the story of the 100th monkey. The story tries to illustrate evolution, but it makes mistakes in its setup, and shows a deep lack of understanding of how it all works, how evolution works. So, I am trying my hand on this thing that no one has ever succeeded before, but my approach is different from others. This doesn't mean I'll succeed, but it is worth testing. I had a call this morning, and it created some light in my partner's being. Which is the first good sign that I am onto something. Read this article, and expect a whole new body of courses, groups, etc. to come out of this. By the way, this is the beginning of a whole series of articles all centering around the key to the evolution of the human species. And if you are human, and I guess you are, then your personal evolution is included. The evolution of the human species. Commitment. Some people don't commit because they are cowards. Unwilling to be called to account, unwilling to try their wings, unwilling to be caught being less than their pretense shows they are. Not as smart, not as special, not anything as that. Others don't commit because they are afraid to choose. Choosing is unchoosing at the same time, and for some reason, unchoosing, the loss of how it is, or the loss of something better is intolerable for this second group. A third group is unwilling to allow anything to above their minds, including their own commitment. Avoid domination is their main effort in life. And the fourth group are dead to everything inside. But without commitment you are like a dry leaf blowing in the wind, you don't have any motive power. You are entirely dependent on outside forces to take you to places. No matter what stops you, not committing to your innate commitments will leave you high and dry. What happens when you abandon, ignore, don't follow, resist, or dead to your innate commitment? You create a split. You abandoned your true self for the sake of what? For a fake self. Nature abhors vacuum. Nature abhors vacuum, so you fill that vacuum left by the gap, the empty space, you created with this abandonment. You fill it with trifles. With unimportant things. But none of those can fill the gap. Kabbalah has a theory that cancer grows in this empty space, and the body accepts it, because empty space is unnatural. It's a nice theory, just untrue. Yet, it has a ring of truth to it. You cannot abandon your true self without first having to hate it. Same is true for your soul. Which means that you need to hate yourself, your soul, while you are pretending of being someone who you aren't, generous, loving, caring, grateful, positive, brilliant, special, etc. But inside you live in hate. You have a split world, inside and outside. You will start to direct all attention to the outside, because there at least you can pretend to love. You'll chase pleasures from the outside, rewards from the outside, esteem from the outside, self-worth from the outside, while you know all too well how hateful you are inside. The more you are split, the more your vibration goes down. The more your intelligence goes down. Until today, science is only interested in the physical characteristics of a human and evolution, diseases and such. I know of only one scientist, now dead, who was even interested in causing human evolution, Lev Vygotsky, who lived and worked almost 100 years ago. This being split between an inner and outer self is the natural state of humanity. Oneness, oneness that every guru preaches about is not an outside phenomenon. It is not with others, not with nature, not with the universe. It is between your two selves. You being one with you. With regards to others, the universe, you have empathy for that. Your empathy is either working or not working, but it is available on the current level of evolution. Oneness isn't. The people who teach that you are one, are themselves split. They teach you something that is more damaging to you than not being taught. You get more and more split, because you direct your attention away from the gap you created, and towards the other, or the universe. Or, in the case of my students, towards positivity. Ugh. On the personal level. How did the two selves separate? How did this split happen? You were born as one inside. The split happened as a result of the people that bring you up seemingly not approving you the way you are. And in a world of black or white, good or bad, right or wrong, the world according to humans, your natural way, your automatic way is to think it is either one or the other. Betterness is the result of language. Animals don't grow up with either slash or. Here is an example of the either slash or worldview. I remember my mother being pregnant with my little brother. My older brother and me were good friends before that. We supported each other, we played together. But with that impending third, we got separated by competition. We both wanted the newcomer to love us. The idea that he would love both of us didn't even occur. The question was, will he love him, or will he love me? Obviously the either-slash-or world, the separation was already the foundation we related to love. The foundation created by language. With another language we could have been allies, partners. But with the language that expresses the evolutionary level of the current humanity, we had to become enemies. We still are. Enemies. Competitors. At least from him. I have moved to oneness but he hasn't. On-off switch. On-off switch, binary, systemic judgment thinking is not the natural way of thinking for a child. A child brought up by animals, a child without language would not look at the world through that worldview, it is either you or me. That systemic judgment was introduced by the adult. You are either good or bad, pretty or ugly, smart or stupid, clever or clumsy. Fast enough. Or not. Belonging or not. Special or not. Worth paying attention to. Or not. Worth keeping. Or not. That is what you hear, and that is what they say. Your world, their world was shaped by language. By binary language. And it is natural to want to go away from undesirable, and go towards desirable. The problem is, the whole setup, our language, the whole systemic judgment system is based on an untruth. The world is not a binary system. You are not either a zero or a one. You are made of millions and millions of variations of one and zero. None of it either good or bad. Neither right nor wrong. Something else. You got stuck in that binary thinking. But you got stuck in that binary thinking, because the whole system of family, the whole system of education, the whole system of society is based on that. And so is your misery. Your misery is based on that binary worldview. A faulty worldview. The fallout of this simplistic, machine-like thinking, the zeros and the ones, is that you stopped looking, you stopped learning, you are interacting with zeros and ones, and miss the twos and the threes, etc. There is nothing harder for a spiritual teacher than break through that invisible wall of I know everything. Trying to pry that little box open. The little box you live in. I need to invent exercises, challenges. So far no matter what I do the mind goes back to I know everything, and inside the binary system you do know everything. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. Actually, you know everything except what would make life beautiful. What would make life life? When you stay inside the binary system your whole interfacing with the world is based on no shades of gray. Not mentioning the millions and millions of shades of other colors. The group I work with shares the biggest price you pay. You have no access to reality because of your words. Your reaction to anything that happens to you or around doesn't allow you to interact with how it is. It forces you to interact with a machine version of it. It forces you to interact with the reduced to its binary base version of reality. Inside that binary base everything and everyone looks either good or bad, smart or stupid, threatening or friendly, etc. All your fears, all your trepidations, all your dreams also come from the binary system. There is no fluidity, there are no details. You want love, you want money, you want your body to have no pain and no tiredness, you want to enjoy your work. No details, no shades, no distinctions of any kind. Black and white. Rigid, unbending, disappointing. And what holds it together is this insistence on systemic judgment. On things being wrong. On hating your real self. No allowing. No allowing things to be anything outside of the binary. In the allowing challenge most people are stuck with the wrongs being wrong to be. Needing to hate them. Needing to resist them. Some of the participants have been able to let go of their reaction to the wrongs. But not of the black and white thinking. Wrongs just became not wrong. Not what they are. Still no details, still no color, so the wrong just went underground, into hiding. Leaving the world colorless. Tasteless. Blah. In the starting point measurements I measure your vocabulary. Your vocabulary, not the words you recognize, but the words you use accurately, are a measure of your rigid insistence on a worldview of black and white. Some people come to me and they are fine. Then they learn about all the ways they are, and call that wrong. And their vocabulary shrinks. Their world shrinks. Because the nature of the systemic judgment worldview is that the more you define wrong, or right, the tighter the box becomes. The box you live in. The more rigid you become. And until and unless you can let go of that worldview, you will kill yourself as certainly as that the sun rises on the east. One of my favorite books to read has been The Holy Sinner, The Chosen, by Thomas Mann. It is the story of incest upon incest. Unconscious, innocent, but frowned upon by the world. The hero goes into voluntary exile on an uninhabited island, where he becomes shrunken to the size of a hedgehog. The physical manifestation of this right-slash-wrong worldview. The home of self-hate. It seems that all the work I do, all the work that you need to do is going back and accepting the child and its doings as valid, as okay, as normal. Find words other than right or wrong for the actions of the perpetrator. Most of the time it's apparent. Depending on your life, you may have had a few or a lot of incidents where you or another was wrong. And with each your world became smaller. Likely you are now the size of a hedgehog. And you split. Inside. Unfortunately the activators cannot make something right. You need to. Actively and for real. Every little thing that you have made wrong ever, when you look at it again through a different filter, with more words than just right and wrong, will change you now. Some, of course, will not be willing. Some will be willing to a certain extent. The ones best at enriching the telling of their incidents with color will be able to emerge on the other side of evolution, a human being. P.S. I also have a favorite science fiction story. I think it is from Stanislaw Lem, a Polish writer. With the invention of the time travel, suddenly there are trips you can book back to prehistoric times. Two good friends from America go on a trip like that. They are surprised to see that the pathways are elevated, the time travelers are not allowed to step on the ground. The tour guide warns the group not to step off the elevated pathway. But, of course, our silly Americans play, and goof around, and one of them falls off the elevated pathway, but quickly clambers back. Upon their return they arrive to a much different America. Different president, different societal structure, he accidentally crushed insects with his fall, and that changed the entire future of humanity. And this is how it works with your life, you go back and you make changes. Not pretend to change but actually change. And then your present changes. That is exactly what happened to me in 1985. I suddenly saw something in my past that I could see differently. And my present changed over the weekend. I came back to a different reality, a reality where I wasn't hated. Here is another example. Back in 1988 I created a 12-step group. We operated with weekly meeting for 2 years. It was called, Playground, It Is Never Too Late to Have a Happy Childhood. All we did is we went through 12 distinctions, 12 areas of life, and retold the stories of our life through them. Differently. It worked the way I am saying, people in their lives magically changed. This is as close to instant as you can get. I have an audio that I would like you to listen to. Especially if you have been my client or student for a while. It will help you make sense of what's going on with you. Get an amazing call on this same topic. If you like the audio of my revolutionary conversation on this topic now you can. There is nothing like hearing as a revolutionary new thought is born. It won't be free. Get it if you are willing to pay for something that may make the difference between you staying the way you are, or you stepping on the path to become one of the first of the next generation of humans that are a lot better at living in peace, love, and harmony than the current generation of humans. And successfully coexist with current humans given the new capacities the evolutionary process gives you.